I'm going to skip our declaration this morning, friends, just for the sake of time, but we'll keep doing it throughout the first term. We want to be a church where young kids and families and people who have never been to church before come in and experience the love of Christ, experience uncles and aunties and grandparents who they're not even related to, who just love on them and input into their lives. Last week we began a series looking at the topic of love and respect from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Had lots and lots of people come back and say, Russ, that was so helpful. Can you get more practical? I said, absolutely. This is next week. This is this week. But we get more practical. A couple of folk have said, Russell, if you've talked about biblical principles that are eternal like this, I've realized I made mistakes that could have prevented my divorce. And they kind of started to beat themselves up. And I want to say to you, whenever you look at Scripture and God's truths, which make such a difference, and you look back and say, I've made a mistake, be kind to yourself. God is kind to you. And the things that we learn today, forgive yourself for your mistakes. The things you learn today, we pass on to our friends and our relatives and our kids and our grandkids. So my hope is to encourage you. The series of these two sermons are based on a book by a man called Dr. Emerson Erickson. And while I believe men and women can do everything, men and women can do any job in the home, any job in society, any role in the church, and I believe Scripture supports that, we're not the same. We're different. And the needs of men and women are different. So we all need love and we all need respect, but there's profound evidence to say that for women, there's a particular need to be assured of their love from their spouses daily. And for men, though, we need love and respect. There's a particular need for men to feel respected. So we're looking again this morning at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. So each husband should love his wife as much as he loves himself, and each wife should respect her husband. Here's two attitudes that are often missing in relationships. A huge number of Kiwi marriages fail. And I don't know how many couples I've helped in terms of marriage counselling, certainly well into the hundreds. And when I've applied this principle of, look, just choose to love. Just love. Doesn't matter if she's a bad cook. Doesn't matter if she's grumpy. Doesn't matter if she's not doing this or that for you. You're commanded by God to love. And just respect. Wives, respect your husbands. Choose your words carefully. Try and keep those tones down, you know. Just respect them. Doesn't matter whether or not he deserves it right now. Just respect them, because God calls you to do that. The incredible thing I've found is when we start applying biblical principles by choice out of our love for God, not because we feel it, not because we feel the other person deserves it, but because out of our reverence for Christ, we say, we're going to do it a biblical way. We're going to face this marriage, this problem, a biblical way. Therefore, as a husband, I'm going to choose to love. As a wife, I'm going to choose to respect and make a real emphasis on that. Holy Spirit turns up and God transforms situations. And I've seen it hundreds of times. We spoke a little bit last week about the crazy cycle, where a woman may be desperate for a husband's affections and he's busy and he's not listening. And so she raises her tone and she raises her voice and the face contorts a little, you know. And all she really wants is for hubby to listen and to assure that he's loving her and respecting her and listening to her heart. And so she reacts in this way and he sees her face contort a little bit and the tone go up and he reacts in a very different way, you know, and he wants to pull back or say something hurtful, or just get out of there. And a crazy cycle begins. Her reactions spur on negative reactions from him, which spur on negative reactions from her, and round it goes. And the crazy cycle's only broken when somebody says, you know what, God, your word says this. This is what you call me to do. I'm not going to react. I'm not going to give tit for tat. I'm going to love. I'm going to respect. I'm going to choose to break the cycle in my marriage. I'm going to choose to think the best of this person I'm married to. And if you're a woman, respect your husband, even if you're not getting the love from him. And if you're a man and you're not getting the respect from your wife, God still calls you to love her. I want to share with you two acronyms this morning, the acronym COUPLE and the acronym CHAIR. The word COUPLE is particularly for men. Man, what do I practically do? What do you practically do, husbands, to assure your wives daily that they're loved? First of all, COUPLE, C in COUPLE stands for closeness. Women are created to desire spiritual and emotional closeness with others. Being close to your wife costs you nothing but time and love. Your wife will feel close to you when you make eye contact, when you hold her hand, when you hug her or show affection without sexual intentions. They'll feel close to you when you make it a priority to spend time together, when you let her know that you value her opinions and thoughts, when you do the unexpected, when you take time to talk after intimate times together. Women need to feel close to their men. There are lots of practical things you can do to serve your wife in this way, to assure your wife that she is loved by you. O in the word couple stands for openness. Women want the key relationships to be always sorted in their life. Every day, the most important relationships, and hubby, her relationship to you is the most important for her. It needs to be sorted. She's got to know that it's well. Men, on the other hand, often hold their cards close to their chest. They often want to talk and communicate when they've thought through what they're feeling, what they want, what the plan is. Our wives need us, husbands, to be really open with them. Tell her about your day and its difficulties. Ask her what she's feeling. Ask her for opinions. Let your body language communicate to her that you want to talk to her. Invite her for a walk and talk over the problems you've been having with the kids. Give her your full attention. Grunting responses while you're watching TV are not acceptable. Discuss with her your financial concerns, your possible job changes, and ideas for the future. You may want to think things through, men, and just mull it over privately. And when you've got it worked out, talk. But she wants you to talk about what's going through your head and what the process is. Work at openness. You in couples stands for understanding. Don't try to fix her or her problems. Just go out of your way to listen. How often do our wives say, look, I don't want you to fix it. I don't want you to tell me the solution. Just want you to be my rock. Just want you to be my sounding board. How often do men hear that in marriage? She will feel loved by you if she comes to think of you as her burden bearer, her man with big shoulders. When she comes to you for understanding, her action is really a big compliment. Don't shut her down or shut her out. Take time to try and understand her, and she will feel really loved. Well, I've never said this phrase to Juliet. I've heard other people say it, and it's a good phrase. I've heard men say to their wives, do you need a solution or my ear? Do you need a solution or my ear? Be up front. Man, you just want me to sit here and listen, hold your hand, or you're looking for an answer? Because normally it's the first one. They just want you to sit and listen and try and understand. You demonstrate love by understanding when you're an active listener, when you're trying to identify your feelings, when you never dismiss her feelings, no matter how illogical they seem to be to you, when you don't interrupt her, when she's trying to tell you how she feels, when you apologize and admit that you're wrong. When you cut her some slack during those times of the month where emotions are a bit less stable, when you pray for her and with her. P in couple stands for peacemaking. She wants you to say, I'm sorry. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 28, that those who marry, this is a quote from the Bible, will have trouble. Those who marry will have trouble. So there is going to be times, the Bible says, where you disagree, where there's tension, where there's misunderstanding. Go out of your way, husbands, to be a peacemaker. Go out of your way to say those two words that are really hard to say. Even if you feel she's most at fault and you're only at fault in a small way, go out of your way to say, I'm sorry, to set it right as quick as you can. Our wives need to know that things are okay in the marriage. Man, if you're in any way partly responsible, find those words, that opportunity to say, I'm sorry, as quick as you can. Even if you feel wronged, even if you feel like you might be losing a bit of self-respect, she will interpret that as an increase in your love for her and for your relationship. Proverbs 17, verse 1, paraphrase, goes like this. A gentle, loving answer turns away wrath, especially your wife's. A gentle, loving answer turns away wrath, especially your wife's. She will know that you love her when you let her vent her frustrations and hurts without closing off to her. When you admit that you're wrong and ask for forgiveness. When you understand her desire to negotiate and compromise for genuine peace and meet her halfway. When you try to keep your relationship up to date, resolving the unresolved as quick as you can, never saying forget it, let's put it off. When you forgive her for her wrongs, when you never nurse bitterness but reassure her of your love, she'll feel loved by you. Husbands work at being peacemakers in the home. L stands for loyalty. She needs to know that you're committed. When she asks you, will you love me when I'm old and grey? Will you love me if I get Alzheimer's? Blokes, do not make a joke of it. Even if you're screaming, you can see an opportunity. Do not make a joke. If she says, will you love me if I get Alzheimer's? You look her in the eyes, you hold her hand, you say, yes, honey. Even if you get Alzheimer's or something, I'm going to love you to the day you die. That's what she needs you to say. Be loyal to her. She'll be assured of your loyalty when you speak highly of her in front of others, when you help her to make decisions, especially the ones about the children, when you don't look lustfully at another woman, when you correct the children for speaking disrespectfully to her, when you keep your commitments, when you speak positively of her at all times. E in couples stands for esteem. She wants you to value her. Men, when your wife brings up issues in your marriage, when she wants things sorted out, she's not trying to control you. She's not trying to chair the relationship. She's saying that she wants your relationship with her to be the most important thing. One very successful CEO wrote this of her husband. At the end of the day, all that's important to me is that I know that he loves me and he values me. And that's what I want more than anything else. A very successful, highly achieving CEO. When our wives carry a child in their wombs for 9 months before they give birth, that's why they don't forget birth dates, blokes. You know, they carry the baby 9 months and they remember. Little girls, when they grow up, dream about getting married. That's why they don't forget wedding anniversaries, you know. They're wired to remember those things. And if we make an effort to remember those special dates and we really work at it, it means so much to them. It shows your loyalty to them as well. True story. A lady received two gifts from her husband on her birthday. One was a Mercedes-Benz and the other one was a poem he had written especially for her. Which one do you think she valued most? West, you scholar. The Mercedes-Benz. Not at all. Not at all. Good on you. Good on you. It was a poem. It was a poem. That's the way she's wired. Tell her that you're proud of the way she handles situations. Speak highly of her in front of others. Make her feel like the most important person, even if it means time with her and less time doing things that you've got on your to-do list. Men, I want you to remember the word couple. Ladies, to show respect to your men in your life, remember the word cheers. How do you give your husband the kind of respect that he craves, the kind of respect that just helps him do well in life? C in cheers stands for conquest. Appreciate his desire to work and to achieve. There's a natural born instinct in men, in your man, to go out and to conquer the challenges of this world. And that will most often be expressed through his work. Originally, when Adam, the first man, was created, before Eve was created, God put Adam in the garden to do what? To work, to look after the garden, to cultivate it, and to keep it. Ladies, when two blokes meet each other, what's the first thing they're going to say? Two blokes meet together, been talking for the first 2 minutes.
What do we do?
Exactly. You're going to turn to that other bloke and say, hey, what do you do for a job? Why? Because it's important to a bloke what you do. It's part of conquest. It's part of achievement. It's part of your self-esteem. I really feel for blokes who are unemployed for a period of time. That will mess with a man's head. And I'd say to any brother of mine, boy, if you're out of work for a couple of months or something, do some voluntary work. Just do something. Because you can't divorce your sense of self-esteem from what you do. It's the way that it is. Ladies can do so much to build their husbands up, by appreciating their ability to conquest, to achieve things. Your words of respect have so much power. I remember my first year at Carey College, and I hadn't done tertiary education previously. I just done achieved some UE papers and always thought I'd be a farmer. I wasn't really focusing on doing varsity studies. The first year at Carey College, it's just a small group of people. And at the end of the year, I sat down with the board and they looked at me really seriously, like really worried. And I'd failed an Old Testament paper and The principal of Kerry looked at me and he said, Russell, I'm not sure if you've got what it takes to be a pastor. I'm not sure if you've got what it takes to pass the academic side. And that's when my little wife rose up out of her seat. She said, he's got what it takes. He can do it. I believe he's got the brains to do this. And when she said that, something happened in me that I can't describe. I'm sitting there going, well, they're probably right. I'm worried. This is so hard. Sitting still and doing all these lectures and writing papers and creating people you disagree. It's so hard, you know. She basically said, I believe in him, and I began to believe in me. She believed in my desire to be a pastor, my need to conquest. Her words gave me the capacity to step it up and to raise the bar of my expectation. What could I achieve in my life? Ladies, show respect for your men. And when you show respect when you tell him that you value his efforts for you and the family, when you listen to his work stories, when you help him achieve his goals, when you allow him to dream, when you don't criticize his work efforts. H in chair stands for honor. Appreciate his desire to protect and to provide. In Ephesians 5, when Paul wrote that husbands should be willing to give up their lives for their wives, honestly, ladies, that's a no-brainer for us. It's a no-brainer. When the Titanic was sinking. When it was sinking, gosh, I've done some classic faux pas in the last couple of weeks. When the Titanic was sinking, the men didn't go, oh, let us on the boat. I guarantee probably 95% of that boat said, get the women and children on. Just get the kids on. Get our wife. Wouldn't it cross their minds, get us on the boat? Ladies, that's how we're wired. When the Bible says, be willing to die for your wife, man, that is how we're wired. We'd do that for our girls. We'd do that for our kids and our grandkids. Admire that. Honor that in your husband. Admire his desire to protect and to keep and provide for you and for the family. There's a story about a trainee doctor I read who earned very little during his training years. One day he came home to find the house was all dark. He tried switching on every light in the house and nothing worked. Finally came into the dining room. There's this beautiful meal set to candlelight. Instead of walking in and his wife berating him for not earning enough money to pay the power bill, because that's what had happened, they couldn't pay the power bill, she sat down, she said, honey, we're going to have dinner by candlelight tonight. Let's just enjoy each other's company. He knew he was struggling. He didn't need to be reminded his income wasn't sufficient. But her response to, I guess, an apparent failure was just to honor him and to respect him. And I'm sure that meant so much to that young doctor. Show your husband respect. You show your husband respect when you verbalize your admiration for him, protecting you and being willing to die for you. When you never in word or body language put down his job or how much he earns. When you respectfully discuss financial concerns with humble suggestions about what you and the family members can do to help. That's honor. A in chair stands for appreciate his desire to serve. Men may not be so good at words about saying, honey, I'm feeling this today. I'm in contact with this emotion today. We're not that, some men are, but most of us probably aren't that good at doing that. But what men are good at doing is mowing the lawn or fixing something or tidying something up or doing the dishes or something like that. And even though that's not, ladies, what you want most of all is a face-to-face, heart-to-heart, deep emotional connecting conversation. The fact that he's doing all these things is still his way of showing love for you. So admire that in him. Admire that in him. Appreciate that desire to serve in him. I remember a few years ago back at Ranui Baptist Church, we'd had a difficult couple of months. Some of the been put in a position of leadership in the church and they got really ugly. They weren't ready for that position of leadership. And we'd had a whole spate of funerals where I'd buried a baby and that really, church was struggling over the death of that child. And I remember going through the cafe of the church, the auditorium one day just before church, and the head of our missions team, Ronnie, who was a very good friend, came up to me. And I was under so much pressure. And she just said this. She said, Russell, I really appreciate you. I believe God's given you really big shoulders. Incredible. I'm going through there. I'm tired. And yes, I was always going to stay the course. I was always going to do the right thing. But this lady comes up to me, my friend, and she says, Russell, God's given you big shoulders. And somehow that appreciation, that declaration over me had such a difference. I thought, man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you know, that you've given me the capacity to deal with what's going on in church life right now. And thank you for a sister that would just appreciate that and acknowledge that. It had a real impact upon me. I've had older ladies in the church back at Rana who come up to me and they've just said simple words of appreciation. Like, I remember one lady in the probably late 80s. She came up to me one day in a gentle spirit of loving way and she just said, Russell, you're a real pastor. And I just melted on the inside. I thought, wow, it just meant so much to be appreciated. There's so much power, ladies, in your words. What you say to your husband, to the men in your life, and how you say it has so much power to affect how we achieve and how we deal with life. Appreciate the things that he does for you and your kids. Show grace to him if he's made a bad decision. Never criticize or correct them in front of others, especially the kids. Iron Chair stands for insight. Now, it's famous, women's intuitions. Everybody knows it's a famous thing, and it's a real thing. A woman often have insight that we think, where do they get that from? How did they come up with that solution? But I actually think men have a form of insight as well, often for problem solving, and particularly Kiwi men, you know? And to appreciate that in your hubby is so good. It goes down so well. Appreciate that he's got ways of fixing things and doing things. Applaud his solutions to family problems. Let him know that you believe that God made us male and female for a purpose and that you need him. Yes, you've got gifts and abilities, but he's got gifts and abilities, and the two together make the whole. You need each other. Ladies, show your man respect. You show your man respect when you recognize that problem-solving ability. It's his male version of empathy. R in chair stands for relationship. Appreciate a shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. Everyone's very familiar with the fact that when two ladies sit down for a cup of coffee at a cafe, they look at each other face-to-face and they're talking about pretty deep stuff straight away. If I sat down 50 blokes face-to-face in a cafe, I'd feel pretty awkward. But you put two blokes shoulder-to-shoulder with a fishing rod in their hands or a hammer, crikey, they can talk. I even found that with kids. Over the years, I've mentored lots and lots of young boys, lots of fatherless kids and teenage boys. And if I went out and did a carpentry project with them as we talked, we'd go so deep so fast. But if I sat with them face to face and said, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? Nothing would happen. Now, ladies, in your relationship with your hubby, when he's pottering in the garage and doing something, and you just go and spend time with him, it has a huge effect. When he's working and you just go and join him in his work, even if it's boring, even if you don't even like it, the fact you're there partnering with him shoulder to shoulder during that job is of huge significance. I read a story of a lady whose husband was a deer hunter. And on this occasion, she decided, right, I'll go deer hunting with him. That's probably not appealing to a lot of ladies. Deedee, yes, but not a lot of ladies, you know. And so they made this stand, this place where they could wait by clearing for deer. And they sat in it together for a day, and not one deer passed by. And at the end of the day, they're walking back to the car, and hubby turned to her and said, oh, honey, that was awesome. And he meant it. Why did he mean? He meant that she, his one that he loved, was present beside him, shoulder to shoulder for the day. No words were exchanged. They just sat together. And she was part of his life, part of his world, joining alongside him. And it had such an impact upon her. Shoulder to shoulder relationships. When you're shoulder to shoulder with your husband, when you're doing something with him, a project or something like that, he's more likely to go deep than he is when you're sitting with him face to face. S in chairs stands for sex. Men need sexual intimacy to feel respected. Ladies, you need to understand that men and women are different. If you've been married for a couple of months, you already know this. You know, a woman needs to feel understood and loved to want sex. A man needs sex to feel understood and loved. It's the other way around. And so often in a marriage, when it's struggling, when the crazy cycle is going on, she doesn't want to give that. And I understand that completely because she's not feeling loved. But when she's not giving that part of the marriage relationship, a man's going to internalize that in the most bizarre ways. When a woman says, no, thank you very much, that really does a bloke's head in. And it sends us thinking to crazy places. A woman might want sex when she's loved and nurtured, but a man needs sex. It's part of how he's wired. And you need to break the crazy cycle. Do what's right in God's eyes. Paul said in Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 7, 5, Don't deprive each other of sex except for mutual agreement, for a time that you can devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Ladies, your man is much less likely to look at other women, to be tempted by porn, or to have an affair if his needs are being met. Doesn't excuse any of those things, but if his needs are being met, you're protecting him from those dangers. A young lady at a Love and Respect conference recounted a recent conversation with her mum to Sarah Igarics, the author of this book I'm referring to. She phoned up her mum and said, "Mum, we're not coming over to visit today." "Why not?" inquired mum. "I suppose because we've not had sex for 7 days now," said the young wife. Her mum didn't hesitate. Gently but firmly, she let her daughter have it. "You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Why would you deprive him of something that takes such a short amount of time and makes him so happy?" Oh dear. Men, love your wives. Remember couple and what it stands for. Women, respect your husbands. Remember chairs and what it stands for. 1 Peter 3 verses 1 to 2 suggests that you can win over an unbelieving spouse by treating them the right way, treating them in a godly way. Men, if you give your wives the love they so need, and women, if you give your men the respect they so need, consider what you're modeling to your kids and to your grandkids. "But oh, she's not doing this for me. Oh, he's not meeting those needs." That's not the issue. Do you love God? Do you believe in a supernatural God that will turn up and honour you if you do the right thing? Let's not serve each other because our needs are being met. Let's serve each other biblically because we love Christ. Let's show love unconditionally. Let's give respect unconditionally. Friends, I'm going to invite you to stand and read a prayer with me. I'll give you a moment or two to look at it on the screen. Never want you to say words that you can't affirm. Let's have a look at this on the screen. Would you stand, please? Again, I want to say to you, if you're here and it's maybe 5 or 10 years before you get married, these principles help. These principles help. Go home and meditate on couple. Go home and meditate on chairs. It helps your relationships with all sorts of people, children, uncles and aunts, workmates of the opposite agenda. If you're comfortable with these words, would you say them with me, please? Lord Jesus, we need you. We cannot show love and respect perfectly, but you do. And you can today if we allow you to work through us. Help us assume the best of each other's motives and actions, forgiving each other daily and working to deal with issues in ways that communicate to each other what it is that our spouse needs to hear. Ultimately, Lord, changed? Oh, okay, it's the second half. I'll read it to you. Just listen to the second half of the prayer. Ultimately, Lord, it's about our relationship to you. We want you to know that we love you by the way we obey your commands, even when it seems hard and unfair. None of us are victims. We're all free to choose our response. We believe that when we obey you, that all things are possible. Make the response that we choose to make in our relationships bring honor to your holy name. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for the young adults who will be married one day. I pray for those that are widowed. I pray for those that are divorced. I pray for those that are married. That God, every one of us would recognize that your word has power to change life. That God, if we do things your way, your Holy Spirit turns up. Lord, right now we're aware maybe of struggles in our own marriages, of struggles in our children's marriages, maybe struggles in a neighbor's marriage or a workmate. Of people who are finding it really hard to make the marriage work. Father, we pray for them. We pray that demandingness and seeking after one's rights goes out the window. And a passion to serve and to do what's right in your eyes comes into their hearts. Father, we ask for your power. And we would ask that the marriages represented in Central Baptist Church would be blessed by your heavenly hand. That folk would look at our marriages and say, it must have been difficult. It wouldn't have been easy. But look at the way they love and respect each other. Surely there's a God in heaven that can make our marriage good and blessed as well. Father, bless us in our homes that we can be a blessing to our community. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, friends. There's lunch today after church. If